Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Two numbers that have so many implications in sports, number 13 and 10. We will explain their importance in about 10 minutes. But first, Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Janae and Golic Jr. reminding you to check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. Again, Chinee Ogwumike and Jason Fitz here because Mike Golic Jr. is gone to get ready for UAB South Alabama. So excited to have you here, Fitz, to talk about everything.
I'm excited that we get to get together, and I know we're about to have a difficult conversation, but I love that, and I love that we can sort of dive into stuff as much as, you know, we have fun, and I listen to you and Mike all the time and love listening to it. I love that we can also deep dive, and obviously that's what, whenever you hear the words Breonna Taylor right now, that obviously creates a lot of emotion for so many people, and this is a difficult time. My heart really breaks for a lot of players that are in the bubble right now, Chinee, that wanted to be part of change, and because of where they are, they're having all of this professional success, but it's taking away some of their ability to go out and be the voice that they may have wanted to be within their communities. I can't imagine how trapping that feels for the men and women of the NBA, WNBA, everywhere else that are stuck in the bubble right now and having great success, but still trying to find their voice.
Yes, and I think your perspective I'm really interested in as well. That's what it's all about, having these conversations. And, you know, I love listening to you in Spain talk about these things because it provides me with a different perspective. But yesterday, a decision was definitely made regarding Breonna Taylor, and her name matters when it comes to sports discussions because we have seen countless athletes and coaches use their media availability to speak not only, you know, about her, but also social injustice. And, you know, the WNBA also dedicated their entire season playing to her. You see her name on the back of the jerseys. So when you're watching these NBA games, you're hearing the announcers talk about Breonna Taylor. You're hearing them, you know, in postgame mention, you know, switch gears. We saw it most notably, you know, especially when Jamal Murray, you know, you remember when he was so tired and he just dropped 50 and then switched gears to talking about social injustice. This is why we're talking about Breonna Taylor. And for those who don't know, a grand jury in Louisville, Kentucky indicted one police officer for shooting into neighboring apartments, but did not move forward with charges, you know, for any of the officers, you know, specifically in regard to, you know, the things that happened, the bullets that happened with regard to Breonna Taylor. So this is the reason why we're talking about her. It's permeated all aspects of sports and athletes using their platforms for change. And you talk about it, Fitz, like, you know, my perspective is so different just because I've been in the mix. It stinks because this year, like going in, I really wanted to play and win a championship for my big sister, right? My other sisters on the Sparks. But we also knew that, like, that decision, that was for me, you know, a medical thing considering I've had injury history. But for so many other players, it was a tough decision to also go and choose to play because we're in the middle of pandemic, right? And you're leaving your family for the unknown. It's an unprecedented scenario and situation. And they go in and then these things are still happening. We're in the crux of such a huge moment, especially we feel it in our country. So for athletes to deal with these things in real time, I think it makes sense why we saw them take a beat after seeing the video from Jacob Blake. But not just take a beat, also find ways to use their collective action and collective power in that moment to create change. Not long thereafter, after taking, you know, some time, we heard about the Bucks talking, you know, specifically with the state officials, right, in the locker room. We also heard about so many arenas being used and converted for voting measures now, things that happened because they needed to process their emotions in real time. And, you know, for you, Fitz, like, I know it's been different as a voyeur, I guess, but also I think it's really amazing to see you just really embrace the stories of other people, because that's all we ask for. Like, at bare minimum, do you hear us? Can you sort of relate? And you totally have done that. How has this perspective been for you watching these athletes do this?
I think a couple of kind of amazing things that trying to find a light out of a very difficult situation is how rocked so many people were by just the details and the information on Breonna Taylor and the decision to not press charges. It should be noted, as you mentioned, the one officer that was charged with essentially reckless endangerment, because according to Kentucky law, if you shoot where you can't see, that's reckless endangerment. So he was actually charged because they found that he shot through a sliding glass door and a window that had blinds on it, and those bullets went into neighboring apartments. So none of what was charged actually had anything to do with Breonna Breonna Taylor. And I think one of the inspiring moments that comes from this, frankly, is that whether you're white or whether you're black, people are willing to be having difficult conversations about all of this, where the system's broken, how things could be improved. And it's such an important part of it. For me, I've looked at the athletes and really the empowerment of voices and the way it's trickled down. Like, I expect it from the NBA. I hadn't expected it to the same level because we haven't seen it in the past from the NFL or from college athletes. And we're seeing it now, and I love it. And I think it's such a reminder that the younger generation that's coming up is more aware of the power their voice can have than ever. And that's really where we can start to affect change, because if only one fan actually takes a second to listen to their favorite player and think about what their favorite player is talking about, it can at least change the way, even if we can't change policy overnight, we can change the way we interact with each other. And you know, to be frank, and you and I know this, and I'm transparent about this, I've found myself more willing than ever in the last few months to sit down with my friends that have a different background, that don't look like me, and say, okay, I don't understand this, so explain it to me. And some of those conversations are awkward as hell, and some of them feel dumb, but it's so important. And I think that athletes talking about it so transparently is part of why we're doing that.
Yeah, and it's not a one-way street. Like, the same way if something happened, you know, right in your backyard, I'd be first one to text you and try to make sure you're okay. And so I guess, you know, for athletes, you know, you asked about how do you deal with these things in real time while also playing the game at a high level. And it's unfortunate that the Jacob Blake situation that happened sort of primed them to understand that they can still go on. Right. Because I think when the pause happened, when the video came out regarding Jacob Blake and then, you know, the Bucks and the Magic did not play, there were a lot of questions on the forefront of a lot of athletes' minds saying, should I just go home? Is this worth it? And then they collectively came to the idea, and I know this in real time because I saw the conversations go down and I was on the phone, like literally that was the first time my sister called me in the middle of a show. And, you know, I they realized that, hey, we are stronger together. And I think that's one thing that is a huge analogy for us as a people overall, us as Americans overall. We are stronger together, but we have to also understand that we need to understand each other's perspectives and points of view. So these athletes will continue to push on, but they will also push out these messages. So just as you watch and support them on the court, right when they step off the court, they're going to push messages that matter to them, you know, when it comes to these issues. Voting matters. And so that's how I see this thing going on.
Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Chinay Agumake, I'm Jason Fitz in for Mike Golic Jr. And one thing you just said there that I think everybody needs to be reminded of is, and Dan Orlovsky's spoken about this so many times, being in a locker room changes the way you view things. It allows you to see different perspective. For me growing up, being on tour buses changed my perspective. You start to meet so many different people in different walks of life. And it's a reminder that it's not just athletes, even coaches that may not look like many of the athletes and may not have the same backgrounds are still speaking about this. This is what Mike Malone, the Nuggets coach, had to say about the verdict and the players' reaction.
I know that we've been using our platform down here, TJ, to try to bring about education and a voice, and a lot of players on our team especially have also spoken out on justice for Breonna Taylor, and we have not gotten that justice, and that's a shame, and hopefully that will change at some point.
And Shanae, I mean, I think those are powerful words coming from a coach that's reminding everybody that it's about difficult conversations, and I have to continue to say that because that's the most immediate effective change. You're right. Voting is a huge part of it, but so is just looking. I say this all the time. Instead of looking up to officials, look left and right and ask the people that are around you in your life how you can be having better conversations and have more understanding. If we can reach the point that we do that, Shanae, I think it takes all of this to a different level.
I think a lot of people during the last few months have been wondering, hey, how can I create this change? It feels so hard for one person to do. I think the easiest way to do it is just change of heart. Change of heart, where you're able to listen and hear these perspectives and not take offense. You know, as athletes, it's funny because we are exposed to our weaknesses at the highest level. Like, you can't dribble, you can't shoot, all those things. So I feel like we have a little bit more of a tougher skin, which is why they can go out there and really feel like, it feels at times when you speak on these issues, you're sort of risking it all when it comes to your reputation. But I sort of feel like understanding the greater good and the greater goal here is what I hope that rubs off, because if you love sports, that's what athletes do. And I think that's what fans should do as well. And I think that's the energy we're all on.
Well, if there's anything I know, tonight we'll have all eyes on the NBA and the WNBA as the playoffs continue for everyone to figure out how athletes continue to use their voice with the power that they have. So we'll do that. Coming up next, Chinay's going to let me get something off my chest that's going to really tick off the entire Big Ten, but somebody's got to say it. I'm going to do it next. This is Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We all love a good cliche. Numbers never lie. And I love the shoulder roll by Jason Fitz.
I got all the funk. I should never say that again.
You got all the spirit fingers. One of the best movies of our generation. Bring it on. Chinan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive. As I said, at Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your car and home insurance together so you can save on both of them. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. All right, Chinan Ogwumike, Jason Fitz here. The one, you know, I'm a dancer and I'm a singer, and I love that you have that energy because that's something I guess Junior is a dancer too. I wouldn't say dancer. He's Magic Mike. He's a twerker.
Well, I mean, I don't ever call him Magic Mike again, number one.
Why?
Well, because, like, the guys in those movies, they had, you know, they had wide receiver abs, not offensive lineman abs. I'm just saying, it's easy to, I mean, Mike's got his thing, though. It's
still cute. Unique. I'm here for it. I'm still here for it. Okay. I'm still here for it. Okay. Magic Mike, we got Hot Mike, we got all the mics, literally, in front of us. So I guess I have to be good. But, you know, I was talking earlier about the numbers, right? And do you know what my number is? What number I play as, Fitz?
No. I should know.
Oh, good. You're going to find out because we have a whole segment all about it. One and done. I don't know if you heard. Like, mm-hmm. we sort of get on the pulpit and get to speak our feelings, speak our truths when it comes to the world of sports. So let's get it, Cliff.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So here we go. Is this a safe space, Fitz?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very safe.
Safe far from Sarah Spain?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I can be your hero, baby.
Wow.
That wasn't my best work. But you already know, today is all about Hero Ball. Tyler Hero. Last night, he dropped 37 points, the second most by a rookie in the playoffs. He caught fire and also caught a lot of people by surprise. But let's run it back. Tyler Hero has always been known to outshine his expectations. He was number one player in his state of Wisconsin, five-star prospect. He goes to Kentucky and pretty much shows he is a certified sniper, but is surrounded by so much talent that he goes lower than expected. Selected number 13 in the 2019 NBA draft. You know how I feel about that number? That's the number I rock, Jason Fitz. Now, I rock that number, and players that were selected number 13 in drafts, NBA drafts, the late, great Kobe Bryant, Karl Malone, our own Jalen Rose and Richard Jefferson, his idol, Devin Booker, all selected number 13. Now, last night was a coming out party for Hero, but he didn't play any differently than he's played all season and all series. He let the game come to him. He made the right pass. He made the right possession, scoring the ball. He read the defense perfectly, nearly perfectly. He knocked down shots available to him. I've always said this. Stars will, of course, win you series, but each game matters, and role players will win you games. Role players can be the hero. Tyler Hero, you are living up to that lucky number 13.
That's well done.
Oh, he knows about the snaps. He knows about the snaps. I love it.
That is well done. And by the way, feel free to just go ahead and send me a number 13 Ogwumike jersey whenever you want for my studio. I feel like I need one.
Oh, my gosh. That will make me so happy because I'll send it to you. You wear it to the show, and you just drive by. Like, you walk, oh, yeah, hey, guys, and Junior will get some.
I mean, I was going to frame it and put it in the studio, but I'll do that too. Like, I'll wear it first just to taunt Junior.
Yes.
And then I'll go, okay. So
yes.
I love that, by the way, which was incredible and remarkable from you. So can I get in on the fun? Can I do one thing?
All right.
I'm going to give my one and done here to Big Ten college football fans. See, here's the thing. The Big Ten decided before everybody else that they simply weren't going to wait around and decide later if they were going to play college football. They decided they were going to postpone their season, maybe cancel it altogether. They did that without communicating to the other conferences in college football. Now that they are coming back, one of the narratives you hear from fans and some people around the conference in general is that they feel that the college football playoff committee should delay their process a week or two to give them wiggle room in the schedule. They're going to have games so tight that they have no room to cancel or postpone, which could hurt their shot at the college football playoff. Let me ask you something, Big Ten fans. Let me ask you something, Big Ten. Why is it that when you weren't willing to play nice with everybody at the beginning, you would expect everybody will play nice with you now? At the end of the day, you had an opportunity to work lockstep with the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, and the Pac-12. You chose not to do that. Even when you came back, you chose not to work with the Pac-12. Now, what you need is everybody else to help you. I will not feel sorry for the Big Ten if, because of postponements and cancellations, the rest of the college football community turns around and says, nope, if you weren't going to be friendly with us then, we're not helping helping you now, even if it means great football teams miss the playoffs. You had your chance, and you didn't use it. Giving myself snaps.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, Shanae, by the way, that felt good. I liked getting that little one and done opportunity to get that off my chest. I want, as somebody that works a lot in college football, I want great games. I want great teams. I think Ohio State's going to turn out to be the best team in all the land. And frankly, I think there are a couple of teams in the Big Ten that have a shot at the playoffs. So I feel bad for the players themselves. But the fact is, the conference knew they had all of this stacked talent when they made the decision without talking to everybody else. So if they're going to go out and enforce their will and say, now we're doing it our way and hope that everybody follows them, you don't get to come around now and ask the SEC to help you out when, in fact, it doesn't help the SEC at all to let these other
teams. That's what I was going to say. They're like incentivized to actually say, I'm good. Like, we don't want to play y'all. We want this ring. Like, yeah. We want this natty. How would you feel, though, like, if we have a situation where Ohio State goes undefeated, maybe they have to, you know, skip a week or so. You know, it's really tight. Missing them when they've looked more dominant than other teams maybe in the playoff? How would you feel?
Well, I'm glad I'm not on the committee this year, because one thing the committee is told every year is that they're supposed to take into account where the game was played and the factors in the game and if a key player was injured. So we have no idea how they'll take COVID into consideration. But I think there's a chance when you start to look at some of the mass cancellations we're talking about, at least like Notre Dame cancels this weekend, they have a hole in their schedule. They can make it up. There's a chance that the Big Ten's going to have to deal, especially with their protocols. They're going to have to deal with a ton of cancellations. So you could have a 5-0 Ohio State team saying that they belong in the playoffs. I don't know that that's enough body of work to sort of put everybody on equal ground, and I won't fault the committee if they decide not to do it.
I agree. But do you think that puts an asterisk next to the champion? Because we've been talking about this in other sports.
Yeah, and that's a great question, because Sarah and I have talked about that a little bit on Spain and Fitz, which you can listen to right after the show from 7 to 9 p.m.
Do your
plug. You know, when you start to think about what it means, I mean, I can make the argument, Shanae, that winning in the bubble is tougher. When you start talking about the lack of home court advantage, you start talking about the mental fortitude it takes, like the drain it is emotionally on being stuck in that bubble away from everybody and everything that you love, like, I think, if anything, it makes things tougher. So I'm not going to penalize a team that makes it through this season with less COVID issues and is able to play more games.
Yeah, I'd agree. I've been on that train as well. You know, you think about that bubble scenario. I was a little worried, though, for top teams, because you work so hard. You think about the Bucks and the Lakers and the Clippers to really try to, you know, have that home court advantage, because that is what helps you, like, draw energy from. But now I think we're also seeing the best of the best step up. Like, if you can win in the bubble, you really deserve it.
And that's why I think there has to be a little credit to who wins, Chene, but also a little bit of patience for who loses. I mean, think about the minute the Bucks were out, the conversation was blow everything up and this can't happen. And I'm like, should we at least not factor in the fact that there was a long gap that does affect them, and then they're playing in unusual circumstances? That's real.
Yeah. I don't know the Bucks, though. Like, you got like a whole supermax staring in the face of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and if he doesn't sign that, you go into free agency the following year. And do you know what a Giannis Antetokounmpo free agency would look like?
Well, I mean,
KD was crazy.
Look, and I said it before the season started, I thought the Bucks were under the most pressure, because they lose Giannis. Not only do they lose one of the best players in the NBA, they lose relevance as a franchise. Nobody's talking about the Bucks if they're all of a sudden Giannis free. So I get it. I feel you. I'm just saying that maybe a little bit of patience would go a long way for the factor of the bubble.
It's
all right.
True.
She's Shanae Ogumoge. I'm Jason Fitz, sitting in for Michael Luke Jr. Coming up next, it's still shocking that we have Thursday night NFL football and NBA playoff games in the same night. We'll preview both next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Here's a fun stat. My sister and I are the only siblings other than Peyton and Eli to both be drafted number one in major sports drafts, professional sports draft. We have another amazing stat when it comes to siblings coming up in about 10 minutes. But first, Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, in the words of my, I feel like you'd hate me because, you know, I'm here with Jason Fitz.
Uh-huh.
And Fitz is here. Junior's getting ready to call an amazing college football game, but you're going to hate me because you are a true artist, and I'm going to cite the lyrics of Hannah Montana.
We've got
the best of both worlds, right? We've got the NFL Thursday night tonight and also the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, and look, I'm excited, Chene, for tonight's game, because you know, we talked to Laura Rutledge earlier, and there's this conversation about when Tua should play. But I don't think the answer to that is anytime soon. Remember, there was no preseason. There's no ramp up. There's limited practice. I think we got to remember that it takes a little while to learn these offenses. So I understand you don't want him to get rusty. But I'm excited for the game because this is a high-dollar Miami Dolphins defense that at some point should start to produce a high level of results. So every single week is a better reminder of who Gardner Minshew really can be for the Jags. So I think that matchup is good. I'm not worried about when we see Tua play. I think this is going to be fun just for exactly what it is.
Switching gears now, we're talking about the NFL, obviously, on Thursday. That's what we're so excited today. Tomorrow's Friday. Excited for, you know how we go on Fridays. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. But we're
Wait. Is it, or is it kind of, like, this is the thing. As a friend, and, you know, I love y'all. Like, for anyone that doesn't know, Mike is one of my closest friends in my life, and Shanae is like family, right? So
yes.
We are, when I say we are all close, we're close. And as somebody that is very close to you, I feel like it's my obligation to let you know that the twerking that I get on Fridays from your co-host isn't good. And I really think you are the one that should rein it in. Like, Friday's maybe gone a little, like, you've got that friend that at the beginning of the night is having a perfect time, and by the end of the night, you're like, holy cow, walk it back. That's where we are at this point today. We're to walk
Look,
it back.
I definitely stand by any twerk, especially twerks by Michael Jr. I'm here for it. He has more range than you would expect. He really does. And we are a very dance-friendly, food-friendly show. You can take all of that negative energy to your own show, which comes up in a little bit. But, you know, it's funny because he's calling college football. We're talking about the matchup tonight. Everyone's excited about the matchup Monday. I cannot wait for that. I feel like this weekend we're going to be in a holding pattern kind of till Monday for the first time ever, right? But switching gears now to the NBA, we've got game four, the Lakers and the Nuggets. And, you know, the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Jokic and the Nuggets battle the Lakers. Presented by Indeed, coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Now, this matchup, I think a lot of people are probably maybe 50-50 on, just because the Lakers have looked so dominant over the course of the bubble. But on the other end, these Nuggets, anytime they feel like they have hope to come back, it sort of brings out the best in them. Which side are you on, Fitz?
Well, before I give you any of my take, I figure we should let the best take artist at ESPN chime in. This is what Stephen A. Smith had to say on First Take about tonight's matchup for the Lakers.
It's 2-1. They got to win. They got to win another game. If they lose game four and they're down 3-1, what are we going to be saying? It's over. Yeah. Are we not going to be saying that? So the bottom line is that tie the series 2-2, and then you'll have yourself a series. Up until that moment, there's nothing to be concerned about here. If none of us predicted that the Nuggets were going to get swept. We all know that Murray and Jokic are no joke, and Jeremy Grant showing up and dropping 26 points. Mad respect where it's due. I actually thought the Lakers would win this series in six games and route that, six, possibly seven, but I stuck with six. That means Denver's going to win two games, okay? This is one of them. So as far as I'm concerned, this ain't a series until it's tied, and it ain't tied yet.
Well, and Chiney, it's not over till it's over. I mean, I can't say they're done if they're down 3-1. We've made that mistake twice in the last month. So let me tell you, one thing I'm expecting is more aggressiveness from the Lakers particularly. But I want to get your thoughts as from a player's standpoint on what to expect from Vogel. Like, I think the under-talked about part of the Lakers is that Frank Vogel has not been good. He's been great. He has been a spectacular head coach for this team. What do you expect him to do to adjust in this? Because this is all new for him.
This is why we're best frenemies. Not enemies, best friends. But we'll just say for now, while Junior's gone, we're enemies.
Okay, that's good.
We've been talking about the importance of coaching, especially in this bubble. You look at what happened in the East. The Miami Heat were able to jump out to a lead against the Celtics because they employed that zone defense, right? Now, the Celtics finally shot their way out of it, but still, they're up against another different factor with Tyler Hero. Now, when it comes to the West seemed like it was all said and done, right? Like, okay, the Lakers are out there and they're playing well and they're having the right synergy. Their stars are leading. And then how did the Nuggets creep their way in? They started doing what they do. Like, you know, just when you feel comfortable, they come out and they have scoring outbursts. What we saw in game three was the Lakers actually figure out a way to rattle them. They played zone. And when they played the zone defense, what happened? That's when that lead that went from 20 went to 15 to 5, almost 5. It was a two possession game with two minutes left. So we saw 5, you know, turnovers in a row. And that is largely Coach Vogel peeping around saying like, maybe we can catch them off guard. Coaching matters, especially now more than ever. And, you know, on the other side of it, when it comes to Malone, he has a lot of guys that have been randomly successful. You know, not randomly because everyone's capable in the NBA, but, you know, the unpredictability of a Michael Porter Jr., the unpredictability of a Jeremy Grant has played to his advantage. So knowing who to put out there and for how long, even PJ Dozier has been one of those guys. Coaching has really been a key factor of success, not necessarily every major star. It's the schemes that they're playing, and we'll see what Vogel has up his sleeve.
You know, you mentioned Porter Jr., and I think it's he's another under-talked about guy, like somebody that I really thought was going to take another step in this, and at times he has. And when he does, boy, they look unbeatable. And then it just feels like all of a sudden, bam. Now, part of that, I think, is a little bit of a lack of experience, and part of it sort of growing into figuring out exactly what your role is. But it is amazing how simple it seems to be at sometimes to just say, all right, let's take out the two stars from both sides and just say that that's a wash. Now, which guy left on either side is going to step up? And that seems to be the story of the series every night.
Yeah, it is. But, like, you think about the Lakers, and obviously you can say LeBron James out, you still got AD. But you can say Jamal Murray out, you still have Jokic. So that's why this series is not over. Stephen A. is correct. But when you look at the Lakers overall, I mean, this is a team that has looked, you know, we did this whole, I made a mistake, okay? I'm going to tell you here. It wasn't a mistake. Maybe I got Twitter fingers. It was late night. I was just ate, you know, food brain, whatever the case is. And I said, hey, we were one Anthony Davis miss away from this possibly looking different. But also, we're 1 or 2 minutes away from the Lakers looking like they're up 3-0, right? So that's the nature of this series. It's closer than we expect, but also the Lakers have been more dominant than we expected as well.
Which comes back to the most boring analysis in the world, but I still can tip from me, not from you. I would say this. The Lakers are still the better team, and I still am not comfortable counting the Nuggets out. Like, we've made that mistake too many times. Like, as oversimplified as that is, that's just the best way that describe everything that we're seeing. All right, she's Chinedu Ogumike. I'm Jason Fitz, in for Mike Golic Jr. Coming up next, something's happening in the NFL for only the second time since 1927. We'll tell you what it is next. This is Chinedu and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Chiné Ogwumike and Jason Fitz in the building with the shoulder shimmies. So glad to have you joining the fold today. And also joining us, Bismack Biyombo of the Charlotte Hornets. Emmett Smith, Hall of Famer. Man, I actually was nervous when he was speaking. I was like, oh my gosh, it's a goat. And then, of course, Laura Rutledge, one of the queens here on campus. I've been so happy to have you here, Fitz.
It's been fun. Like, you know, it's awesome to get to hang out with you.
I've missed you. This is the most we've been able to hang out in a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we should do this more regularly. Like, if that, whoever that mic guy is, I don't know much about him, but that mic guy, like, if he just starts annoying you, you just call me.
He's got so much magic. He's so hot, right? You don't like that? You still don't like that?
This is, you know, this is making me really uncomfortable at this point.
It's okay. Let's just keep the energy up because we know something special happens in about 10 minutes. So let's hit it, Cliff.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chiné and Golic Jr.
So much energy here on Chiné and Golic Jr. So much energy on Spain and Fitz. So excited about it. And there's a lot of synergy here because today, I think if you saw on your timelines, there are a lot of really cool graphics out there. Today, we also talked about so much the importance of voting. And Hooper's Vote is an initiative supported by Rock the Vote, which is aiming at bringing a lot of members from all aspects, all corners of the basketball community together to push a message about voting. And I know people can learn about that very soon, right?
Yeah, on Spain and Fitz at about 7:15 Eastern time, we're going to have Terry and Jaren Jackson Jr. of the Memphis Grizzlies joining us to talk about this. She's a huge part. That's his mom, by the way. Huge part of this initiative. And look, Rock the Vote was a big deal for me when I was a kid, is really educating everybody on how important voting is. I can't wait for this to happen, obviously, tonight to get to talk to them. And I think Hooper's Vote is a great reminder of the power that athletes are using their voice for right now.
Yes. A lot of people know Jaren Jackson Jr., obviously, right, with the Grizzlies. But I know so well Terry Jackson because she is our executive director of the WNBPA. She is our queen mother, and she's been the best at what she does, which is super fun. Now, I said earlier, when it comes to siblings, I had a pretty cool stat. Did you know that, like, my family sibling stat? Did you know that one?
I did not know that until earlier today, and now I'm really impressed because I didn't know I was going to get two Ogunwu K jerseys, but apparently that's what's happening. I mean, that's just, it's just start doubling up. Send
it's
me
like
all the
Oprah.
Family.
Yeah. You get a jersey. You get a jersey. You get a jersey.
Come on now.
I mean, this is another jersey I want because shout out to the Texans. It'll be the second time since 1927 three brothers will play in the same game. Texans J.J. Watt and Steelers T.J. Watt and Derek Watt. In 2019, the Steelers and Bills brothers Tremaine Terrell and Trey Edmonds played in the same game. But in 1927, Duluth had Joe Cobb and Bill Rooney on the roster. So, like, that is wild that we're going to see three siblings on the same field. And if it was me and my family, my parents would probably be just like, oh, I'll just catch the stats. Like, I don't know who to root for. It's going to be so difficult.
Look, you're talking about this, the smart part of it from a parent standpoint. I really want to know what Thanksgiving turns out like. How much trash talking happens from siblings? Like, we all presume it. Give me the real, Chinee. How much is there, like, pass the potatoes? If you could have passed that well in a game, you might have won. Like, come on, give me some of that.
For so long in my career, we didn't even talk about it at holidays because we were taking L's left, right, and center from the Los Angeles Sparks. But it shifted the last two or so years. It shifted. We got some wins against the Sparks. But then I missed her so much that I switched gears and joined her team.
I don't blame you for doing that. Makes Thanksgiving easier. And by the way, Chinee, remember, as the little guy in the gym that only hits one out of 40 shots, you only got to hit one to trash talk. Come on.
That is true. That's what I always say. Like, when guys, it's so funny. Guys always want to try me. And they say, let's play. I'm like, okay, let's play. Because when we record it, people won't care about you getting buckets on me. But once I get a bucket on you, the energy shifts. But also keeping it in the family, Coach Mike Malone, you know, he just revealed that his mom has been going through, this is of the Nuggets coach, some medical issues the past couple of years. And she told him watching the resiliency of this Nuggets team inspires her. And he said that if the Nuggets can fight like this, so can I. He said that that's what she said. So it was a beautiful, nice little moment where, like, clearly everyone's going through so much in this climate now when it comes to health and the battles that they're fighting. And to see that her son out there and they're defying all expectations and odds, and she drawing strength from, you know, it just makes me so happy. She's drawing strength from the Nuggets.
It's also pretty cool for the players to hear that, because I think strength gives strength in this, and there's a moment for everybody else with their relationship that they obviously have with their coach where they take a little bit of extra pride in that and a little extra strength from that moment. So it's really incredible to see that bond, and it's a reminder that sports are bigger than sports.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, in these times, I feel like this is one of the biggest commitments athletes are going. As much as you see the basketball, it's nice to see that they finally made the decision to let family come in the bubble, because coaches need love too, obviously. And I know, you know, we like to put respect on every sports league. And, you know, we haven't talked much about hockey because the Stanley Cup is going on, and there was a cool stat right out there.
Yeah, I got two cool stats for you in this one. So for the Lightning, Steven Stamkos became the second player in NHL history to play his first game of a given postseason in the Stanley Cup final. Remember, he'd been out with injury, and score a goal in that same game. So that hadn't been done since the 1940 Maple Leafs. But almost an even better stat, there were 12 blocked shots by the Lightning in Game 3. 12 times somebody was like, hey, that little rubber puck that's coming 90 miles an hour, I'm going to put my face in front of it. Like, that's energy right there.
That absolutely is. And, you know, before we go, I want to also mention this. Not only does Jalen Ramsey talk about, you know, defense, study the receivers around the league that he may match up against, he also studies all of the corners and works with Rams receivers on certain techniques to use against them. Talk about double duty, which you know all about today.
I mean, like, seriously, though, did you do that? Like, that actually doesn't surprise me too much from a player that's as devoted to being great at his craft. Like, I would think you're studying other people that play your position or other people on your team to see how everybody's, you got to understand the whole puzzle to see your piece.
That's kind of next level, though, because you get to a point where it's like, you know what, I don't even want to worry about the competition, I'm working so hard. But for you to be like so ingrained with it, the amount of mental like strength it takes to not be overwhelmed and like think of all this information and still deliver, it's super impressive.
I mean, let's be honest, like, how intimidated are you when you think about the competition you have at ESPN Radio, known specifically as Spain and Fitz, the
Look,
amazing
that's
show
why-
that, I mean it's got, like, do you just, like, you listen on the way home and you're like, God, you know what?
Yeah.
They are bringing it tonight. Because I've heard that they're incredible.
they're out here shaming my voice. But that's why I said I sort of plugged you in. And I said, just like, you know, he's doing double duty on the field, you're doing double duty on the mic right now.
Did you ever know that you're my hero? Look, I did your hero song for you. I just picked a different one.
No. You got to go harder. That's
no,
not
no,
what
no.
You
I'm
hear.
Not going like, no, no, no. Like,
go harder.
Sing it. Go ahead.
These vocals
Do
are
it.
Go ahead.
No, it's reserved for my show, people. My show, which, by the way, you can hear right after this one, Spain and Fitz
wow.
on ESPN. I know. That just came. That just
wow.
came. So this is your last chance today. You want to change your prediction at all for tonight?
I can be your hero, babe.
That's not what the world wanted. Are you sticking with Lakers in five?
He is.
Oh, okay. Look at that. All right.
I am sticking. I stand by my man.
Oh, wow. Stand by your man. Okay.
He's saying. He's saying.
All right. Coming up next, someone named Jason Fitz is going to hang out with someone much smarter than him. Spain and Fitz comes up next. Janae, thanks for
Love
letting
you,
me
Fitz.
Hang out with you. You're the best. Love y'all.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.